You have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse 26 this morning. Read over this all week and I couldn't get away from it. This is the way the Lord said He wanted me to go this morning. And I'm going to mind the Lord the best of my ability all the days of my life, that I might not sin against Him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despise unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Verse 31 said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You can be seated. I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes, if God will be our help, on this thought: too late to cry for mercy when it's time for justice. Too late to cry for mercy when it's time for justice. As we look at the writing here in Hebrews, and we see him speaking to us. He said, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." We'd like to pack that off on somebody else and say, you know, it's for a lost world. It's people that's never heard the word or never received Christ. But he said it's here that have received the knowledge of the truth. And we know that the truth, and there's no not but one truth, and the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for us on Calvary so many long years ago, how he loved and lived, how he died on the Calvary, how he was buried, and after praise God, 3 days he rose victorious over death in the grave. Praise God, walked in this world. Praise Lord, rose up to sit at the right hand of the Father. Praise God, to make intercession for you and I. And he said, if we take this knowledge and we defer from this knowledge, praise God, if we sin willfully, if we do those things that God tells us not to do. I was thinking about this while we've been going through all this storm and all the things that's took place over the last couple of weeks. And I realize how God has loved us and He's helped us. And God is always directing us. And you say, well, and we say, I say, you say, well, I would never willfully sin against God. But I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of His Word, if we ain't very careful, those of us that are professed Christians who say that we're born again through the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, praise God, the Holy Ghost of God, it's going to speak to our hearts. It's going to speak to your heart and my heart. He's going to tell us what's right, and He's going to tell us what's wrong. And I'm glad this morning, for your sake, that God has no gray areas today. Amen. Praise the Lord, it's pretty black and white. God said, praise the Lord, He said, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That fearful looking for, that word looking means to be expected. He said, we better focus on what's right. We better focus on what's true. Praise God, there's so much static in this world today. And I want to tell you, there's a clear line, praise God, that's going out this morning all over this country, all over this world. I'll tell you this morning, folks, the world is watching North Carolina this morning. The world is looking at you and at me. They're wanting to see how we'll act and how we'll react to this circumstance. And I want to tell you this morning, I praise God, with the help of the Lord, we ought to just shout and praise His name and give Him glory for who He is. Amen. If we ain't very careful, listen to me. God bless your sweetheart. I love everybody here today. But if we ain't careful, we'll get caught up on things of this world. I pray God, we'll get bogged down with this that we might, I pray God, that got injured or damaged. And we'll look at this and we'll look at that and we'll forget to remember that the good God of heaven, He's still in control. He's still in charge. He's still doing what He promised He would do. Amen. It blows my mind. The people, the things that people whine about. Amen. Had the phones had no more started working. People's whining and complaining about little old trivial things that they lost because of water damage. Amen. Little old trivial things that don't amount to a hill of beans. And in a year or two, you won't even think about. And people's lives are being shattered all over the country. We're worried about little old trinkets that we had when people's homes went floating down the river. When people's lives were shattered to pieces. And we worried about things. Amen. God help us, youngins. We ought to be thankful that God Almighty is on our side and He's given us life and breath to just lift His name and praise Him and give Him the glory and the honor that He deserves in times like these. Amen. We act like it's took us by surprise. Hello? We act like this took us by surprise. It shouldn't. God told us it'd be like this in the last days. Amen? He said that it would be like this in the last days. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. In verse number 4. Said Jesus answered, said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He said there'd be a time of great deception. And that we're living in the greatest time of deception that the world has ever known. These people rising up and claiming themselves to be something great. But I want to tell you, they're something that's greater than any man, woman, boy, and girl. And that's God Almighty, the true God of heaven, Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. He's no bigger than Him. He said, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Do you see it, youngins? Jesus Christ, praise God, these are the words of our Savior. He said, this is the way that it will be. Amen? It shouldn't take us by surprise. Praise God. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Amen? You see it happening around us today. You see Iran coming after the little nation of Israel. And you see the world's ganging up. This one against that one. Armies against armies. Warriors against warriors. Praise God, because God said it'd be like that in these last days because the world would be deficit of love and caring to love our neighbor as ourselves. Or to love our, even the greater commandment, to love our neighbor as Jesus loves us. Amen. Boy, if there's ever been a time, church, that we should be practicing that, it should be right now. Amen. Praise God. To love your neighbor just like Jesus loved you. To be there for you. Jesus is always there for us. Amen. These people all around us today. We was talking about it before Sunday school. People are always talking about, well, what can I do? You know, where can I be a help? Amen. But there's a ministry right around where we live. Every one of us, praise God, have people around us that need some kind of assistance. There's people around us today, all around us, praise God, that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we need to pray that God would give us Holy Ghost boldness like Stephen to stand up in the face of persecution and adversity and say, Lord, here I am, send me. To open our mouths and say, Lord God, I love you and I want you, praise God, to be the spirit of my life that leads me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. So that folks can see Christ in me and have that hope of glory. Amen. That's what we need today. We need that hope of glory. People are in anguish today because they have no hope. Praise God. But He offers us that hope. He said there'll be famines. Talking about devastation, pestilences, diseases, and earthquakes, disasters in diverse places. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a hurricane in Western North Carolina. Amen. I've never seen it in this fashion in Western North Carolina. I've never known it, something going through in the mountains of Western North Carolina and delivering 30 inches of rain in just a matter of a few hours. Never seen it before. So we're not caught blindsided. God said this will be happening. We need to be looking for it. We need to be expecting it. Because he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Amen. The beginning of sorrows. He said, so we need to be expecting it. Amen. He said, when we begin to expect it, you go on to chapter 25, and he said, we need to be vigilant about helping those, praise God, that need our help. He references the little nation of Israel. Amen. In the message that he gives us between the sheep and the goats and the brethren. Hello? The sheep and the goats. The sheep, now that we are sheep. Amen. Born again believers, he recognizes us as the sheep. The goats is the ones in the world who's lost and those that reject and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we have the brethren, which is the Jew. Amen. Somebody say, well, I don't care nothing for them Jews. I said, well, then you don't like, I thought you saved. Well, I am saved. I said, well, then you got to like the Jew because your Savior's a Jew. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in case you didn't know, it was a Jew. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus said, those that'll back the Jew, those that'll stand behind the Jews, praise God, them I'll have respect for and I'll bless. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. But he said, you turn your back on the Jew. You turn your back on the brethren. If you don't help the brethren, he said, I'm not going to help you. Amen. I hate to be straightforward today, but praise God, we've missed the mark. When we make promises to Israel and we don't keep our promise, praise God, we will have to pay the cost. Amen. And we see it. As it comes up through here, how many billions of dollars is it going to take to rebuild? Because we made a promise and we broke it. We're going to have to pay the price. And is it amazing to me that it come right up through Western North Carolina, which for years and for decades was considered the belt of the Bible, but the buckle of the Bible belt. Amen. Because we've let down on God, because we've compromised our faith and our beliefs. Amen. God help us today, youngest, to open our eyes and realize that the Lord is real and that we need to love one another. We need to reach out, praise God, with the love of Christ like we never have before. Amen. Praise God. But the Lord speaks to us and He gives us the direction He'd have us to go, and He teaches us, amen, that judgment will come to those that disregard the truths of the Word of God. I love the nation of Israel. If you've ever been there, you can't help it. I mean, they just, if you ever fly, you get off the plane and there's a presence in the land. There's a presence in the land. Amen. It's overwhelming. It's the presence of God Almighty that we see there. Amen. It's the presence of the Lord God Almighty. It's overwhelming. Amen. So we love them and we appreciate them. Because God promised there'd be blessings to those that do. In Genesis chapter number 12, the Bible says this. Let me just show you right quick. In Genesis chapter number 12, you say, well, preacher, I just don't see the big deal about it. The Bible said, Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, it said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. Now watch this. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Did you catch that? He said, I'm going to make you to be a blessing. And I'm going to, praise God, and those that bless you, I'll bless, and those that curse you, I will curseth. That word curseth means to deal with heavy blows. Amen? But I like this last part. He said, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen? Did you realize that some of our most modern technology, our vaccines and things like that, come from the nation of Israel, were designed, developed by the Jew? And they were developed not for just a Jew, but for me and you. Amen. And God said, what, could you imagine what the world would be like if we loved one another, praise God, and we loved on the Jew, praise God, God's the brethren, and we just encouraged them and we helped them, praise God, and we were there for them. God would pour out His blessings in such a magnitude that we wouldn't be able to take it all in. Amen? Praise God. If we begin to love each other like Jesus loves us, it would help us to love our brethren and sister in Christ. It would help us to love people all over the world. We could come together in one mind and one accord to just worship and praise God. He said, well, preacher, somebody told me the other day, they said, well, preacher, there's so much darkness in this world. Praise God, you shine a little light. You flick your beck in a cavern, praise God, and darkness has to flee. Amen? Praise the Lord. A little bit of light in the world, and the darkness would have to flee. Praise God. But we see that God had, He said that they would be some punishment. They would be some justice that would be dealt down. Praise God, getting just what we deserve. Amen? So, preacher, we don't deserve... Hey, praise God, we deserve hell. We are all old sinners deserving of hell. We had all rejected God. We're from an ancestry that had rejected God, had been disobedient to God, or being disobedient to God. Man, we don't need to be reformed. We need to repent and turn to God. We need to ask God to help us. I was thinking on this. It reminded me of the story of David. David come to a part of a time in his life that he thought he was he was king, and he thought everything was going his way. And he decided to number the people. Amen. He decided to number the people, so he began to number them. And just turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. And he sent Joab, the Paul Harvey version, the wrestler, he sent Joab out and he said, go number the people. Joab had more sense, and he said, wait a minute. He said, we don't need to number the people. We ain't counting on the people. We're counting God. He said, we're trusting the Lord to get us through this. But David said, no, that I want you to number the people. I need to see how many valiant, how many fighting men of God. And so he goes out, contrary to what he wanted to do, and he said, he numbers the people. And he comes back and he tells David. And when he told David, God smote his heart. Now, I said in the beginning of this message, praise God, you know right from wrong. God will speak to our heart and show us, praise God, willful sin. What God says we ought to leave alone. We ought to stay away from. We ought to shun. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10, that David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. Amen? David's heart smote him because he had erred against God. He had went contrary to God. It went contrary to godliness. Amen? We do that so many times. But instead of seeking the will of God and walking in His grace and His mercy, we choose a different direction. And so he comes up, and do you know the story? The Lord sends Gad down to him, a prophet, the seer, and he starts speaking to him, and he gives him three choices. He gets three options, if you will. Amen? He gets an option. Shall 7 years of famine come upon thee, verse number 13, in the land? Wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now do I see what answer I shall return to him that sent me? So God says, okay, that's your options, David. What do you want to do? But David had enough sense about him. He said, you know what? I don't want this world to judge me. He said, I don't want people, praise God, man, to judge me. He said, I want to stand, praise God, even though I've messed up, even though I've done my own thing without going to God first. He said, I want God, praise God, to do the judgment. I want justice to be done through God Almighty, because I know my God is merciful. I know my God loves me. I know why my God has the best things intended for my life. Amen. I don't want men to judge me. Praise God, though they will. I don't want people to judge me. I know they will. But praise God, I want to stand in the judgment of an Almighty God, because God is a merciful God. David said in verse 14, he's to Gad, he said, I am a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great. Boy, aren't you glad for that? Ain't you glad that God's mercies are great this morning? How many times has God showed you mercy? You deserve justice, just as you deserve, but praise God, God showed you mercy. So the Lord set a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people of Dan, from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. Can you imagine that? He said, but when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him the evil, and he said unto the angel that destroyed the people, watch this, it is enough. It is enough. I thought about that last Friday when the rains was a pouring, the wind was a roaring. Me and Teresa was there on the hill, and on Wednesday the creek had got plumb out of the banks. It was way up. It went over the bridge and washed out the far side of the bridge. Thursday morning, it washed out from under trees. Trees fell across the driveway. And Thursday morning, we got up and we hit it like me and the neighbors. There was a pile of us. Got in there and we cut them trees out. We get to the bridge and they had a fireplace they had torn down. We took those rocks and began to pile them in on the side of the bridge where it was just about washed one side out. And we piled them in all through the morning, trying to strengthen, trying to secure it. Had to go to the other side and take more rocks and put in a barrier and begin to pack rocks in the other side so it couldn't undercut the road. And Thursday afternoon, I stood back. I said, Lord, God, it's yours. Lord, God, it's yours. Please, Lord. This hurricane's coming. I know, Lord, it's going to be bad. But Lord, would you please protect my bridge? I said, Lord, would you keep those waters inside the banks? Because my bridge had just about had enough. Amen. I didn't have nothing else I could do. And then Friday come. We got up and the rain was, it rained all day Thursday while we was working on that. Friday come, we got up that morning, it was pouring the rain, torrential rains, and then about 9 o'clock the wind began to whip. We looked out toward the barn, looked out toward the trees, mighty oak trees were just twirling around. And as they twirled around, you could hear the roots snapping and cracking and popping. And then another mighty gust would blow and that tree would hit the ground. And all around us you could hear them popping and snapping, hitting the ground. Boy, I'll just admit, it was scary. It was scary. But I looked down and Rims Creek's on the other side of her house and it began to rise up. And we went down to the neighbors, make sure they was okay. It kind of had a little bit of a lull. I think it was at the center part. Everybody's okay, but they said the river was coming, the creek was coming up, Rims Creek was coming up. And I said, is everything okay? He said, yeah. I said, our sawmill. I looked down there and it was up against the edge of the bank, away from the creek. But the creek had done come out of the banks. Amen. It done come out of the banks. So my wife and my mother, we tied a rope to a tree and we rappelled down to where it was. We put a chain around it the best we could. We trapped a chain around a big old walnut tree. And we left it in the hands of an Almighty God. And that water began to come, it continued to rise. There's a pipe sticking out in the field. We knew it was 6 feet, and it come to the top of that thing. We've seen storage containers, great storage containers, going down the river or creek. We saw trees going down the creek. We saw things that I'd never seen before in my life. It was scary. It was scary. I know some of you encountered the same thing. The waters are raging. The winds are howling. Scary stuff. And I watched as that water continued to rise. And they had a blue tarp over their little sawmill. And it was come up on, it was up on the tarp, and they was about that much sticking over. And I was up beside my study, and I was just praying and talking to God. And I remembered this verse of Scripture. And I went my hands in heaven. I said, "Oh God of glory." Just weeping and crying. I said, "Oh God of glory, please just let it be enough. We know that you are God. We love you. We appreciate you. We know who you are. Oh please, God, just let it be enough." He had my attention. Amen. He definitely had my attention. You see, I'll tell you a story real quickly. 3 years ago, I dreamed that the waters was the same way. And I told my wife, I said, "We got to get out of here. The bridge is done gone. The waters was rising. We grabbed our stuff and I was hauling it up on the hill to the highest point on the property. And it was continuing to rise. So I took the stuff and I cut my neighbor's fence and I went up to a little higher knoll. And I went to get stuff, and I was hauling back and forth. And then the last load, I come back, and the water was up to the house. And I told Teresa, I said, "We can't get no more. We've got to go." And I had a little John boat. I hooked it to a truck, and up the hill we went flying to get out of the way of the water. Got up there to the top, and the water was still rising. And Teresa looked at me. She said, "Honey, it's still, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're just going to get in a boat, and we're going to float, and we're going to put it in the hands of God." Amen. So having dreamt this dream 3 years ago, it was kind of scary. But what was really scary is, Alex, I sold my dad blame boat. I sold my boat. Didn't even have a boat. Amen. I still got the life jackets though. Praise God. But it was scary. And I was thinking on these things. But while I was thinking on all these things, the Lord spoke to my heart. See, I was like old Elijah when he thought he was the only one, that there was nobody, no help left. Through the storm and through the fire, through the winds, there was a still small voice. Still small voice. He said, "Son, what are you fretting?" I'll just be honest. I told Teresa, I said, "Pack us a bag. We're going to get out of here." And then I said, "No, we're not. We're going to ride it out." And then about 10 minutes later, Brother Bill, that water was rising. And I said, "Get that bag. We're going." But then I just stopped, and that still small voice spoke in my heart. He said, "Son, don't be afraid." He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't be frightened." He said, "I've got this." And you know how many times God's told me that in my lifetime? When I thought I was going out here, when I thought there wasn't no hope left, God said, "It's all right, son. I got you. I've got this. I've got you. Everything's going to be okay." You said, "Well, preacher, what if you'd got caught in the waters? You'd died. Praise God, I'd have been dead, but I'd been with Jesus." But you couldn't get no better than that. Amen? Praise God, to graduate to glory. But we hung out there. I said, "Forget it. God's going to take care of us. We'll be all right." And boy, whenever I said that, they was just a peace that passes understanding overshadowing me. I went back over there to the creek bank, and I looked down that little sawmill. I figured it'd be gone. But I done asked God, amen, let it be enough. And when I looked back down off that bank, the water was going down. Glory to God! It was receding. Amen. You are to see where Rims Creek was. It's scary. To now, it's scary. where it was. Where French Broad River was, it's scary. People lost their lives. Amen. But you know what? God couldn't point. He said, okay, that's enough. That's enough. There's nothing in our lives that we can't overcome with the help of the Lord. Because no matter where we're at, God will, at some point, He'll say, that's enough. Because He said He had not put on us more than we could bear. He said, but with it, He would make a way of escape. That's when we just look up to Jesus and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As Miss G says all the time. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And guess what? There He is. There's the Lord. There to help us. Amen. So we see that the Lord said, it is enough. He said, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was at the threshing hold of Narhiah, the Jebusite. Amen. Praise God. David humbled himself. He knew he had messed up. He come with humility before God. See, sometimes we get to running to and fro and trying to fret and worry and figure it out. When sometimes we just need to fall flat on our face, humbly before God and say, Lord, You've got a problem. Amen? You've got a problem. We've got a situation here. What are we going to do? What are you going to do about this situation? God already knows. God's always got a plan. See, God is never caught unawares. Never. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our weakness, our lack of strength. And He knows where His power comes in. But sometimes I think He's just waiting on us to come humbly before Him. To realize that we can't, but He can. Amen. We can't overcome, but He can. In this past year, we've seen God move so many different miraculous ways, taking care of different situations. But He said that He would. He would take care of these situations. That's why the writer of Hebrews would speak of this fearfulness. He said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The writer would say of this fearfulness is to be exposed to the possibility of no escape. The possibility of no escape. Can you imagine that? I thought of these people that were up in the mountain in Swannanoa and Marshall and these other hot springs, these other places where the water just gets so fast that just decimated the whole towns. I mean, they're gone. Basically gone. Amen? In just a moment. And he said, it's a fearful thing to think that the grace that God has to offer us, praise God, could be snatched away from us because of unbelief. Amen? Praise God, to be born again is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through eternity. The world without end, praise God. That it be expanded for you and for me so that we can have the confidence in the Lord to be exposed. Amen? To being exposed without possibility of escape. To being exposed without the possibility of atonement. Can you imagine? Can you imagine those people where they were at? They had no way of escape. And listen to me. The title of my message, praise God, they had no place, no time to repent. How sad. How sad. Had no place. He said it's a fearful thing to come to these points in our lives. And we don't know about tomorrow. We know who holds tomorrow. But He specifically said that today is the day of salvation. Today's the day that we begin to believe and trust in the Lord, to rely on Him. Amen. To allow Him to make the changes in our life, praise God, for His glory. Can you imagine being exposed? Been exposed, amen, praise God, to the wrath of eternal righteousness that was offered for mankind that we shunned and neglected. You know the biggest lie of the devil? He said, just wait till next time. Wait till tomorrow. You know, do it next Sunday. The biggest lie of the devil. Amen. Praise God, today is the day of salvation. To stand before God, to stand in the justice of God without the possibility of that eternal hope that we can have through Jesus our Lord. What a terrifying thing that would be to not have the opportunity to receive the gift, the free gift of God that's offered to mankind. You say, well, preacher, he ain't ever offered me. Oh, yes. He come to seek and to save all those that were lost. He's a whosoever will God. Amen. Don't you let these folks tell you, praise God, he'll save one, he won't save another. Amen. He'll save all old sinners. And newsflash, he said that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. We need the help of the Lord. We need Him. You say, preacher, how can I get that help? Before it's too late. Too late to cry for mercy. What do I need to do? We need to just humble ourselves before the Lord. If you'll go from Hebrews over to James, over to James chapter number 4. Bible said, verse number 6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen? Said God gives grace. That's that unmerited favor of God, undeserved favor of God. Praise God. He said He gives it. He said He gives it to those. He resists the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. But then verse number 10, and I'm done. Verse number 10, He says this. He said, how do we receive it? How do we get it? He said, we get it when we come humbly before God. In verse number 10, He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He said, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Come off your high horse. Come down where God have you to be. And just say, Lord, I need Your help. I need You, Lord, in my life. I need Your guidance, Your leadership. I need Your faith and Your promise. I need everything about You to be a part of my life. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Can I just be honest? As I stood there on that creek bank, my hands in the air, just talking to God, I was just totally humble before God. I saw His magnificent hand. I saw His power. Everything that was taking place around me, and I was probably as humble as I had ever been in my life. I said, Lord, would You do something? Would You help us? Lord, let this be enough. Amen. And God said, okay. He said, I'm going to lift you up above it. Amen. And standing there on the ice, I said, praise God. In other words, he was speaking to my heart. He said, I'm not going to let you get in this. I'm going to keep you above it. Amen. Because you've come humbly before me. Praise the Lord. Peter would say this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. He says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Just humble ourselves. Do what's right. Trust the Lord. Amen. Flee from sinfulness. Lean to the right, the righteousness of God, the right path, the right way. Amen. And God will bless us and help us. Amen. Before it's too late to cry for mercy. Amen. When it's time for justice, it's going to be too late. But He said, now we have time. We ought to cry out for mercy. Say, Lord, please just forgive us, old sinners. And help us, Lord. Help us. Yes, preacher. Pastor Jeff, what do we got to do? We've got to humble ourselves before God. Realize that He is God and that we're not. Amen? And the only one that can give us what we need is Him. Amen? He can manifest Himself to us in a magnificent way if we'll just humble ourselves. Amen?